This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Forget what Foal just told you. This is the best part of waking up. DCR Live every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number, as always, is 1-800-919-3776. You got me, Rick DiPietro. You got Super Bowl champ, the man meat of KJZ, the pride of Clemson, Christopher Kenny.
Wow.
And if your team is fun to watch, he's going to find them. The self-proclaimed best option to host Jeopardy, Dave Rothenberg. We got an unbelievable show for you today. The Mets with the grossest defensive ending you've ever seen in your entire life. The Yankees got a shortstop that doesn't want to run hard to first base. But the story of the day. The fourth place team that is the hottest team in the NBA, 8 straight, hosting currently a playoff series. Your New York Knicks.
Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go! Say go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go! Well, just like that, look who's back.
But before we get to all of that, it's time for me to now hand off the show to our fearless creeper, one David Jebediah Rother.
I think you will find that most creepers are, in fact, fearless. It has to be a fearless kind of a situation that you're walking yourself into. Otherwise, it defeats the whole purpose of being said creeper. Wonderful job, Rick DiPietro. I don't know how many, and I'll just go out and say hours it took to create that open, but it was well done. I mean, there was audio. It was excitement. There was energy. There was passion. There's positivity. There's negativity. It had everything we're looking for, and we want you guys. You threw the number out there, 800-919-3776. You mentioned the disaster last night that was New York baseball. I mean, I don't know which team was worse. I guess the Mets were worse when you allowed 16 runs.
But yes.
Repulsive, yeah. Repulsive baseball all around. And it's funny, I'm watching, we'll get to it in a second, I'm watching the Yankees last night, and I have Michael Kay's like, you know, Yankees have more hits than the Braves right now. And I'm like, wait, what? The Yankees aren't hitting the ball. They got 5. Like, oh, stop it. I can't believe we're looking for silver linings here. We'll get to all of it, the Knicks especially. Let's go. Good morning, one Chris Canty.
Good morning, Dave. You touched on everything right there, but I mean, listen, it wasn't a great night for New York baseball, but we don't even have to focus on that just based on what the Knicks are doing. They got it rolling, man. 8 straight games, man. 8 straight wins. It's been a long time since you've been able to say that about Knicks basketball, and now they find themselves in sole possession of fourth place in the Eastern Conference. You guys got to feel great about that.
I feel so good. I went to bed at almost 11 o'clock last night, and I'm not even tired this morning. Rick, it is so good. Good morning. Beautiful job on the open, by the way.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Christopher. I'll tell you what, Dave. I mean, and again, another night, and it's back-to-back. I mean, listen, I don't care that, you know, Trae Young goes out. Better for us that Trae Young goes out because we had no idea how to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was another night. Julius Randle led the way. He was awesome again. And then you had contributions all over the place. Bullock's been great. Quickly last night was great. I mean, what they did from 3, I mean, dude, I'm telling you right now, I know I bust your chops and his team is fun to watch, but the fact that we're sitting here right now with 12 games left to play in the NBA season and the New York Knicks are in fourth place, are you kidding me right now?
Yep. I mean, this is where we are. Here's the question, and I saw this all over my Twitter timeline last night. Give me a break. Oh, you wouldn't have won that game if Trae Young would have been in there. Well, he wasn't. Okay, he wasn't in there. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care. Do I feel lesser because they didn't have their best player? Nope. I feel great about it. If he didn't play the entire game, that's fine with me. He leaves in the fourth quarter, that's fine with me. I'm a Knicks fan. I don't care how they find a way to win, Chris. I'm just looking for the win.
No, you got the win, and you got the season sweep over the Atlanta Hawks, and that seems like that's going to be a team that you're in contention with for seeding as we go down the stretch. And if you find yourself in a first-round playoff series against the Hawks, you got to like your chances, Dave. Yeah, I mean, I'm getting to the point now that if the Knicks are able to somehow pull this off and stay in this spot where they have the fourth seed, I mean, it's not outside of the realm of possibility that you're talking about this team winning a playoff season and going to the second round. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I mean, this team is playing really good basketball. This has moved from a feel-good story to a legitimate team in the Eastern Conference. Like, you're going to have to deal with the New York Knicks. If you're in the playoff picture in the East, you're going to have to deal with the New York Knicks. And the brand of basketball that they play is a tough one that's going to make it a dogfight with any opponent.
Now, forget your Twitter timeline, Dave. I was actually hoping when Capella went down that he was going to have to leave the game, too.
Right? No. I don't care. I'm taking prisoners, right? I don't care. if it means that they don't have their best players, I've suffered for 20 years. 20 years of this. So if it means that we get a forfeit win, so be it. If it means that their best players don't play, so be it. If it means that we get lucky or fortunate, okay, you got lucky. Okay. Oh, all right, fine by me. We got lucky. Great. You know what we got also? The win. Eight in a row. Eight wins in a row. Rick, is this a good team? Chris just mentioned it. I'm not saying are they going to win the championship. We know they're not going to win the championship. But Chris mentioned it. They were a feel-good story. They were like Lassie. They were, they're fine. They're cute. They're adorable. But they're not a good team. Are they a good basketball team?
Well, define good basketball team. Because anyone that wants to argue that they're not is out of their mind. They're one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, which for me qualifies you as a good team. And now all of a sudden, I mean, you're well-coached. Here's the thing. You can disagree, whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you right now, I watch every single one of these games. I watch all the NBA games. Julius Randle is a legitimate MVP candidate, and I don't want to hear otherwise. He leads his team in every single category. He plays over 37 minutes a night. The guy doesn't miss time. He's missed one game, plays every single game. Thibodeau should get Coach of the Year votes. And you know what the best part of this team is right now? All those close games that they were having a hard time finishing, late in games, closing out games, winning these kind of games, they're starting to figure it out. They're starting to figure it out, and they're winning these close games. Now, did I need to see that game go into overtime? No.
No.
Did I need to see the guy with the laziest name in the history of professional sports? Like, we couldn't have switched it up. It's got to be Bogdan Bogdanovic. Like, we couldn't have sprinkled in a different first name.
Wow.
You're taking a shot at the Bogdanovic family, the parents, really.
It's lazy. It's lazy.
Right.
Take your time. Come up with a name. Don't just.
Right. You left the hospital
last name,
without a name, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I take time. I focus.
But how much time do you need to take to realize that it's repetitive at that point? Like, the first name is the same as the last name.
What are you going to name your son? I'm going to name him DP DiPietro.
Right. It's like, this is my son, Rothen Rothenberg. Right.
Oh, my goodness.
He's good, though. That double name guy,
he's
a good player.
Yeah, Bogey's good.
Now, he is good, but in overtime, I mean, the Knicks took over in overtime, man.
They dominated. They dominated in overtime.
And
here's the thing, and you bring up a really good point, because how many times in the past would you allow that three, which I don't know how they allowed that three, but you allow that three, and then in overtime, the Knicks especially, it falls apart. You allow the three, it falls apart, you're mentally weak, and all of a sudden you're like, see, that's the Knicks. Not anymore. When he hit that three, you're like, man, that stinks. But I didn't have this defeatist attitude of they have no chance to win this game. I thought, you know what, the way they play, they'll still find a way. They have completely sold me that they are a different team right now.
Well, I think especially, too, I mean, Derrick Rose followed out, too. I mean, he had another good game for you last night. And he's one of the guys that you would point to as a guy you trust late in games.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to all of a sudden have, because that's a letdown. Let's face it. I mean, Chris, you played in situations like that where, you know, late in the game, you feel like you're going to win the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone makes a big play, they tie it up, and you go into overtime. And it's usually the team that gives up that big play late. The energy kind of gets sucked right out of you. Like,
yeah,
oh,
you saw it on Sunday against the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, they gave up that shot to Reggie Bullock in the corner, and then what happened in overtime? The Knicks took control of that game, and they end up winning it. But this Knicks team is a little bit different, man. It's a different mentality. They're tough, and they stay mentally locked in. And like you said, Rick, down the stretch, when it comes to the critical moments where you have to execute, they figured out a way to be able to win these close games. And so you got to tip your cap to him to be able to start that overtime period with a 10-0 run. I mean, that says something about the mental toughness of this Knicks team. And guys, we shouldn't be surprised by it because we've all acknowledged throughout the course of this year, they're not a supremely talented team. But where they win, where they beat up on teams, is through their mental toughness, their grit, and how they play defense. And that was on display late in that game and on into overtime. And that's what leads me to believe that this Knicks team is capable of having a little more success than we wanted to assign them about a month ago, especially when we get in the postseason, just because of how they play.
I hate to keep bringing it up, and I know both of you, I mean, Chris is a Fugazi Rangers fan because he loves Quinny, but, I mean, Dave pretends to be a Rangers fan as well.
How does that make me a Fugazi Rangers fan? Because I love the head coach. If I love the head coach, that means I'm a fan of the team, right?
Yeah, but you love your co-host, too, and I'm the one that took you to the game. I had you by the glass. I was like, oh, I got Canty now.
You put the full-court press on him. It's amazing what you tried. You were so desperate to have him.
I remember that day like it was yesterday. I remember that day like it was yesterday. We had the Devils game. I had the Tim Tebow jersey on, because if there was any way, the only person that could beat the Devils at that point was a man of Jesus, so I had the Tebow jersey on underneath my suit coat. It was a great day. So here's the point, though, is this New York Knicks team reminds me a lot of what the Islanders did. And I don't think that's a stretch, right? The Islanders aren't the most talented team.
Mm-hmm.
They're really well coached, and they play great defense. Structurally sound. You know what I mean? Fundamentally sound. That's what the Knicks are. Like, the Knicks make you decide on a regular basis. Do you want to play as physical as we're willing to play? And some teams decide, you know what, I'm really not that interested.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want that tonight.
But you know what makes it special, though, Rico, is that the Knicks can consistently do that. The fact that they can consistently play that way, be that physically tough, be that mentally focused, and they're willing to commit the kind of energy, the requisite effort that it takes in order to intimidate teams like that, or not even to intimidate, but in order to impose their will on teams or dictate the complexion of the game. The fact that they can get up and do that every single night, the fact that we saw them do it on a back-to-back against teams that are in the playoff picture, like that's something we haven't seen from this Knicks team for the better part of this past decade. Like, this is new for a lot of Knicks fans in terms of how they're playing it. This is reminiscent of the 90s Knicks. Like, those teams that were built on physicality, they were going to be tougher than you were, even if they weren't as skilled, even if they weren't as talented. And I think that's why a lot of fans have fallen in love with them. Not just the fact that they're good and that they're fourth in the East, but how they're doing it.
Well, it's almost a breath of fresh air, too, isn't it? With what we talk about on a regular basis with load management, you know, teams not really taking the regular season seriously.
This is the exact opposite of that, right?
The exact opposite. Like, I mean, you could feel it yesterday in that game. Like, both teams knew what was at stake yesterday. Right? Like, both teams, like, you could feel like there was a certain intensity to that game. That this was a big game. This was for fourth place.
This is what you were hoping Philadelphia and Brooklyn was going to be a couple weeks ago.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And I think Chris makes a good point, too. I mean, people just think it's easy to just go out there and be at your best.
No.
And it's not. Like, it's so much preparation, you know, mentally, physically, that go into it. But on top of that, when you're playing a back-to-back like that, like, it's just, and sometimes I find myself, like, guilty of the same thing. Like, why doesn't he look better? And then I go back to my mind. I'm like, oh, I remember those back-to-backs. You get on the ice, your legs feel like crap. They're heavy. Like, mentally, you're drained. You're worn out. And they just, they find a way, man.
They find a way to
do whatever it takes to bring their intensity level to a certain point where, I mean, it's that consistent. It's a testament to them.
Rick, remember we were talking about it yesterday, how Julius Randle didn't have his best game against the Hornets because he only had 16 points. Then he goes out and he drops 40 yesterday. And he was awesome in overtime. Like, it was just them running the offense through him, and whether it was him knocking down a three or finding Reggie Bullock in the corner or just being able to find Nerlens Noel, like, you can see that this team feeds off of Julius Randle. He kind of sets the table, and then you're always going to have, you know, another guy as that number two scorer. And last night it happened to be Emmanuel Quickley, who stepped up big time late. Trae Young was out of the game, but that doesn't really matter. I mean, he made the plays that were there to make to help his team win. Like, that's a testament to this team, man. They all believe in each other, and when they get in that opportunity, when they get the opportunities, you've got other guys outside of Julius Randle that are willing to step up and that are capable of knocking down shots. And as they continue to win games, they're only going to become more confident as a group, And that's why I feel like this is one of those teams that can do some damage when they get into the postseason. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to go on a run and be in the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is the Knicks are going to be the team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs.
Absolutely not, because you're going to know that you're in a long, drawn-out series. So here's the question for you. They've won eight in a row. I can't believe you say these things. They're the four seed in the East right now with 12 games to play. Are you officially on board with the Knicks are a good basketball team?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, I know technology is not so easy for you. Do you have a smart speaker in your home?
I do not, no.
You do not?
No, I do not. You know how I feel about that.
What do you mean? How you feel about what?
The smart speaker listening to me. My phone already listens to me.
Oh, my God. Well, anybody else, because I think almost everyone else universally has a smart speaker, all you have to do is go up to said smart speaker and say, play 98.7 ESPN, and that's it. Boom, we're on. That's all you do.
It seems so easy. I mean, it is so easy.
You got to get with the times, my friend.
I am with the times. I don't trust it. Every time I say something around my phone, it every single time... Me and Cass talk about something. The second I look on Instagram, there's an ad for what I'm talking about.
That is
every single time.
I hate that.
I don't trust the Venmo.
I hate that. I'll be talking about something, and all of a sudden, an advertisement will pop up on my phone, on my social media, whatever. I'm with you completely, Rico.
Thank you, Canty.
Yeah, I don't take it as far as putting a piece of tape over the camera on the iPad, but I'm with you.
Well, anyhow, I think most people have gotten past the fact that they're being listened to and they're comfortable with it, and this is just the way of the world, and they have a smart speaker. And if you have a smart speaker, use it. Play 98.7 ESPN. Are you at least okay with that? If they have it, can they use it to listen to
us?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, make your own decisions. Yeah, I mean, listen, if I wasn't so neurotic, I'd probably have one.
You're so neurotic.
This is the problem with having my wife, is because she reads and sees all this stuff. Like, she's got me watching, you know, specials on how hackers are hacking into like, nanny cams and, like, just checking out your house while you're not home.
Now, that would terrify me.
Exactly right.
If I'm going to get an ad for whatever because I'm listening to my smart speaker to listen to the show, okay, that's fine.
Hmm.
Right. Well, how many times do you have to have a company apologize because their speaker just activates when, like, the one I did for an observations 1 week was that a company had to apologize because for some reason people having sex, like those noises activated the device to start listening.
Well, maybe he said play with something and then the smart speaker heard it and played 98.7 ESPN. No?
I guess. I just don't trust it. All right.
What do you trust?
Prove to me otherwise.
What do
I don't
you trust
the Venmo.
You don't trust Tom Thibodeau. The Venmo. Do you trust the PayPal?
Oh, you owe me money, by the way, with the PayPal situation.
What do you mean I owe you money?
It charged me extra money. I paid you $50, and it charged me a fee to use PayPal.
Well, if you remember, in the email I sent out, it said make sure you pay with friends and family, because then there's no fee.
See, now that's above my pay grade. I don't know how to do that.
The money, so,
you don't know how to read?
Well, no, I didn't do it. I didn't do the PayPal. Cass,
well, maybe you should have told Cass, hey, Cass, when you pay Rothenberg, make sure you use friends and family so there's no additional fee.
That's my... I assume that she knew that.
All right, so this is between you and her. I don't think that I should be the blame.
No, it's not your fault, but it would be nice if you refunded my money.
Mm. It's not going to happen. All right, let's take a listen to RJ.
I did win.
You won. 52 other people beat you, but you won with the five schmoes that are on the show, correct?
Yes, I'll take it.
That's right.
You know,
you got one guy picking a school barely plays basketball. You got Illinois that barely shows up to the tournament. But you did beat us.
That's on Jay Williams, because we all made that mistake.
That's right. All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side.
It was the most confident he's ever been in his life. He came on.
You got to take him. I mean, he's giving us pronunciations. It's not Cockburn. It's Coburn. You go with this guy. He's so good. No, Jay.
Yeah, no, Jay is right. And now he's nowhere to be found. You can't even find him.
That's right. Claims he had a child. Who knows? Who knows?
He's disappeared.
If he took time off for the Illinois pick, or if he took time off because they, in fact, did have a kid.
Or if Zubin's got him locked up somewhere. Who knows? You have no idea where
That's
he
right.
is.
Zubin is going to have a full beard by 10 o'clock this morning. All right. RJ Barrett. Here's the question. I don't know. I haven't heard the audio, but the answer is yes. The question is competing for the number four seed exceeding expectations? Let's hear what he says, but the answer is absolutely. Go ahead.
I think it exceeds everybody else's expectations, but, you know, we know what we could do. We know who we are, and we're showing it every night, and we're going to continue to do that, continue to stay together, and that's all that's important.
You guys played the game, so you understand the mindset of the athlete and what goes on in the locker room better than probably almost anyone listening to the show. Do you really think that R.J. Barrett, when this season started, thought, yeah, you know what, we're going to wind up with the four seed in the Eastern Conference?
No way. No shot. There's no way he was thinking that, but I'm pretty sure their coach wasn't letting them get that far ahead, Dave. And that's what makes what's happening with this Knicks team special, because they've all bought into Tom Thibodeau's approach, and they're very workmanlike in terms of how they handle their business. Like, they don't get too far ahead. They stay in the moment. They stay locked in. And that's how you make sure that they don't overlook any opponents. Like, they're never in a situation where you're saying, oh, this Knicks team is coming out flat or they don't have energy. Like, we saw a little bit of that in the first half of the season, but we really haven't seen any of that in the last month or so. Like, we haven't. They've been dialed in every single time. I'm not saying that that translates into a win every single game, but the Knicks are winning more often than they're losing, and now they've kind of laid the groundwork for what they've become. And you're seeing them go on this 8-game win streak. And this is not a Fugazi win streak, because everybody is bringing their best to the table, gearing up for the playoffs. So you got to have respect for what they're doing right now. There's no way they could have thought they'd be here when the season started. But I do think they believed in their coach and they believed what he was preaching. And now you're seeing the tangible results of that.
Yeah, that's what's impressive, too, is I think one of the concerns going into the second half was, you know, look at the schedule. They have one of the hardest schedules in the NBA. And on top of that, it's, you know, second half of the season when NBA teams kind of lock in and, you know, they start fighting for, you know, playoff positioning and everything else. So you're going to get everyone's best effort every night. Mm-hmm. Like, how would the Knicks hold up? And, I mean,
you got your answers.
You got your answers, man. Eight games in a row, and they're finding a way in close games to close these things out.
It's amazing. Let's go to the calls, 800-919-3776. Rick, if you want to listen on your smart speakers, how would you do that, by the way?
I think you would say, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Very well done. Let's go to Eli in Newark. Eli, you're first up. Good morning. Lead the charge, Eli. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. Keep up the good work you're doing. And first things first, hope all is well with your family, friends, and loved ones. I want to thank you, Chris Kelly, for helping win that Super Bowl, and congratulations on your engagement.
My man. Appreciate it, Eli.
I'm a Knicks fan. I go way back, man. We had Kyle Ramsey and Richie Garrett, Howie Komaz, and, oh, man, what a team. Anyway, all the way up. But the Knicks are a good team, and it reminds me, like I said, in boxing, how styles make fights. You get somebody that can box, so you put them in with a street fighter, they don't want to be in there with him. And you guys in sports, like you and Chris, you know how important it is to impose your will against another team's will to make them fight or make them play the way you want to fight. The Knicks are imposing their will on another team. Nobody don't want to play them. And I give a lot of credit to the management now, and I give a lot of credit to Thibodeau, the coach, whatever his name is. I can't pronounce it.
Just say Thibs.
Tough-minded coach, smart. He got them guys playing tough defense, smart, and teamwork, right? And making shots, too. But nobody don't want to play them. Just like a boxer don't want to get in the ring with a street fighter. Thank you, fellas. Keep up the good work you're doing.
Great point. And he's right. I don't think anybody wants to play this Knicks team right now, because you know when you tip off the game, you're in for 48 minutes of this other team is going to give me everything they have. We may be more talented, but they are not going to lie down at any point during this game.
Oh, especially when they shoot as well as they shot last night. I mean, look what they did from 54% from three. I mean, what they've turned themselves into. I mean, they weren't a good shooting team early on in the season.
No, that's an understatement.
An understatement. And now I'm sitting here looking at the NBA stats. The Knicks are sixth in the NBA.
It's unbelievable. By the way, Atlanta wants no part of playing defense. Like, that game was played to Atlanta's style last night, and the Knicks still won that game.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that Trae Young was out. I mean, they had a hard time stopping Trae Young. But again, we'll take it. I'm not going to sit here and complain about a win. But Trae Young was doing pretty much whatever he wanted.
He's terrific. Listen, that's a talented team. If you matched up talent for talent, that's a more talented team than the Knicks are.
Yeah, I don't even think that's a question, Dave. But again, it's not about just having the talent. It's about all the pieces being able to fit together, and it's about playing together. And the Knicks have shown that even though they're not a supremely talented team, they do play team basketball. And a lot of nights that ends up being a difference because they are locked together, because they do have that connectivity. You know, it ends up being enough for them to be able to pull out a win.
There's a great sports cliche, Dave, that I use occasionally with my coaching, is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
I actually like that quote very much.
I do too.
Yeah, it's a great quote.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I think even though Chris doesn't root for the Knicks, I think you appreciate the Knicks. Is that fair to say, Chris?
That is fair to say, Dave.
I appreciate what's happening right now.
Yeah, I appreciate hardworking teams, Dave. I mean, the Knicks, they're consistent in terms of their effort, and I mean, that's where it starts. Like, if you're going to give the effort every single night, and I've got to watch the games every single night because of what I do, I can appreciate that. Like, I can appreciate watching this Knicks team. I actually enjoy seeing them play basketball.
Yep. As a great man once said, this is a fun team to watch. 98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential. On Thursday, May the 6th, we're giving 98.7 listeners an inside look at the game with some of the best minds in all of baseball, featuring Alex Rodriguez, Matt Vasgersian, Buster Olney, and all hosted by a man that has sacrificed so much for the game. And that, of course, is Don LaGreca. An exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball. We'll give away some great prizes. To score your VIP access, be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. Again, be the first caller right now, 888-987-3776. Clubhouse Confidential, presented by PC Richard & Son and 98.7 ESPN. Here is
I invested
Emmanuel.
My life in this sport.
Yeah, he's devoted a lot to the game of baseball. I think, like, when you think of the greats, it's like it's Abner Doubleday, it's Connie Mack, it's George Herman Babe Ruth, followed by only Don LaGreca.
Some form of baseball I played my entire life.
Right? Like the Mount Rushmore of baseballers, you would put Don on there, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, Cooperstown's going to, like, contributions to the game of baseball.
Right. Like, and it won't even be like he probably won't get a plaque with everyone else because he wasn't a dominant player, but he'll be in like the others room, right? Like just contributors to the game of baseball, Don LaGreca.
Yeah, they'll have a skeleton. Like, this man contributed his life to the game of baseball.
Yes. I mean, wasn't there for the birth of his children, right? Like that kind of like, you know, showed up late to his own wedding because he was scouting a kid in the West Coast Baseball League. Like, that is our Don LaGreca. All right, our Emmanuel quickly commenting on the Knicks' improved shooting this year, and boy, it is improved.
I'm not surprised because I see all the guys that put the work in, whether it be late at night, early in the morning, before shoot around, before even on game days, people are putting in a lot of work. So I'm not really surprised. You know, the number's always going to fall where they're supposed to fall as long as you're putting the work in. So. And then also we have like a key card and we have 24-hour access. Coach Tibbs might turn the key card off tomorrow because he declared a blackout day, so nobody's allowed to go into the gym. I'll probably still find a way in those.
And there you go. You know, it's funny. You hear R.J. Barrett, you hear Emmanuel quickly. You know, I knew this was going to happen. We practiced so much. We thought this was going to happen. I find that hard to believe. And I guess maybe they did, but I find it hard to believe that they knew or thought that this was going to happen from their hard work.
Yeah, but I think you understand what he's saying, though. It's not like, you know, we sat there before the season and said, you know, we expect to be a top four seed in the East. Thibs simplifies it. Like, coaches like that simplify it. It's like, win today. Have a great practice. Because if you have a great practice today, it's going to carry over to tomorrow's game. And, you know, if that happens, now we build on that success. I mean, they were talking about yesterday that after the Charlotte game, you know, quickly came out after the game and worked on his threes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, I mean, that's the kind of group that they've assembled. I mean, I said it yesterday, the mix of their mix of veterans with the youth is a really good mix, and they push each other to be better. Like, when you have this kind of, and I know people get sick of hearing it, cause we talk about it so much here in New York with, you know, the different teams that have struggled, how important culture is, how important team chemistry is. Like, Chris talks about it all the time with his Super Bowl team. It's like guys are doing, like, you know, he got defensive linemen that are, you know, off watching video together. They're off having extra workouts. It's like you push each other to be better, and you don't want to be that guy that holds everyone else back. Like, there's almost a guilt attached to it.
So it's almost like a peer pressure for the positive here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. Like, you're dragging each other. Like, you're pulling each other. You're pushing each other to be better. That's like guys like Tom Brady, like really good leaders like that show up and have this incredible work ethic that – you know, do all the right things. As a teammate, you watch that guy and how much success he's having, and you're like, you know, I got to do what he's doing, and if I don't, like, there's this guilt. Like, am I doing enough? And like, I don't want to be the weak link. Like, everyone, this team's on a roll. We're winning. I don't want to be that one guy that trips us up. And that's why we always talk about it. I know people get sick and tired of hearing it, but I mean, when you see, you know, what coaching has done for this Knicks team, what coaching has done for the Islanders team, what coaching did last year for the Giants.
Yep. It really has made a tremendous difference. Let's go to a couple calls. Let's go to Carmelo. I mean, this is appropriate. Carmelo in Brooklyn. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Big fan of you guys.
What's going on, Melo?
Hello?
Yeah, we're here, Melo. What's up?
Hey.
We're right here.
I'm good. I can't believe I'm warm with you guys. But my question is, what do you guys think will be the biggest off-season story? If the Nets were to win the championship or if the Knicks were to lose in the second round, let's say to the Bucks or the 76ers, what would be the biggest story?
The Nets.
Yeah, the Nets. The Nets winning
the championship. That's the bigger story.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, listen, we all have that expectation of the Nets, but they still got to get it done, right? Like, they still got to get to the NBA Finals, and we all think that the biggest hurdle is them staying healthy. But they still got to get there. They still got to do it. But, I mean, right now, everybody's talking about the Knicks just because we didn't expect the Knicks to be where they're at. Like, we expected the Nets to be, you know, one of the top seeds in the East. Nobody expected the Knicks to be fourth in the Eastern Conference with less than a month to go in the season. Nobody thought that was going to happen. But that's where they find themselves, and you got to attribute that to their hard work and their head coach providing a level of leadership that we haven't seen from a Knicks head coach in a really, really long time.
Maybe the number one fan of the show, Lonnie in Harlem. Lonnie, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Dave, is that really a maybe that I just heard come out your mouth?
You know, I thought it was a nice thing I said, and now you're going to attack me for it? Maybe you're not the number one fan of the show.
There's no maybe to that. No, I am. And there's no maybe to that. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, good morning, family. The Knicks, I mean, hey, listen, I find them more enjoyable to watch TNT, unfortunately, more than our Yankees right now. I'd rather watch a team that's going to go out there and give effort and actually lay it on the floor rather than a team that just seems lost on the field. So that's what I had to say.
So I say also, you might be the number one caller on the show, and you follow that up with you're enjoying the Knicks over the Yankees right now. I mean, isn't that fairly obvious at the moment?
I am.
Yeah.
I mean, it is obvious. But hold on, wait. I got a couple more things to say. Rico, listen, Thursday Open is beautiful. It gets better and better and better and better and better every week. It's beautiful.
Thank you,
Canty, I kind of figured out why you've been working so hard and going on KJV and maybe going on Greeny.
Why is that, Lonnie?
You got to provide Mel with a beautiful wedding. That is why. So you're working a little bit extra because you got to provide Mel with that beautiful wedding that you promised her. You got to make sure you get the DJ. You got to make sure you get the cigar guy. I know you want the pizza and all that other stuff, too. So that's probably why you've been working a little extra hard. And Dave, once again, never put a maybe in front of that number one fan again, please. Thank you. Love you guys.
All right. There you have it.
I apologize, Lonnie.
What are you apologizing for?
Don't criticize Lonnie's hot take. I mean, that's fresh out of the Dave Rothenberg playbook.
Oh, please.
That was
the worst thing. I'm enjoying watching the Knicks more than the Yankees right now. What a horrendous take that is.
No, how is that any worse than, you know what, guys? This New York Knicks team, really fun to watch.
Well,
the same thing.
That's not the same thing. How is that a bad thing to say the Knicks are fun to watch? I said the other day. Is that a bad thing to say? To say that you're enjoying watching the hottest team in the NBA over the dregs of Major League Baseball right now, that's a ridiculous thing to say. And the fact that you defend him is preposterous and embarrassing for you and your family.
That was a fantastic point.
No.
Love Lonnie.
No. I know who you are. You're the guy that I could say anything and you just take the opposite way. That's what you have turned yourself into.
No, I mean, the guy listens to every second of the show. I mean, he's a part of the DCR family, and the second he comes on, you disrespect him.
It's not he disrespected himself. He said he's actually finding the Knicks more enjoyable than the Yankees. Well, of course he is.
Oh, but that, I mean, he could be speaking of the fact that he's really that big of a Yankees fan.
Exactly, Dave.
Like, the Yankees are his team. It's like the Giants are your team. Like, you love the Giants. You would be hard pressed to say, even watching bad Giants.
So now you're delving deep into the psyche of Lonnie.
Yes, I'm diving right into it.
You're right in there.
This is what family does. I love Lonnie. And you can listen. Next time Lonnie calls in, God forbid you disrespect him again.
Then what? First of all, how did I disrespect him? How I said maybe the number one fan of the show. I think that I thought that was a nice thing to say.
No,
to him.
What do you mean maybe? Like, I mean, that's like saying to your wife. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Do I look good in this dress? Maybe.
No.
Say maybe.
No. No.
Do I look fat?
Disrespectful. Maybe. There's nothing disrespectful about this guy calling up, and I say, I thought it was a nice thing to say. I mean, we have lots of listeners. You may be the number one fan. I don't know that he's the number one fan. There can be someone out there that's got a Rick bobblehead that every time you say something, they pet real hair on that thing. I don't know.
That would be scary.
Right.
That would be scary.
That would be very scary.
I think there's a show, as a show, outside of you, and this is why, I mean, you're emotionally broken. We all get it. I mean, there's a piece of you somewhere in your brain, like the emotion part is missing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we all agree. Chris agrees, I agree, Santi and RJ, that wasn't the nicest thing you could have said to Lonnie.
Well, no. Hang on a minute. Can we go around here? Ray, you think that was a mean thing to say, that he might be the biggest fan of the show?
No,
be honest now. I know you also like to go against me when you can, but be honest.
I was literally just getting done saying that I'm on your side here. It was you were very complimentary of the guy, and, you know.
Oh, you're the worst, Santiago. Have
some
balls,
he's not.
Would you please? Stand up to this guy. You let him. All he does is throw you under the bus. You got a chance to go after him, and you... You quiver like the Cowboys.
What are you? You want me to lie?
No,
yes.
He's an honorable guy.
Yes. I want you to lie. Yes, I want you to lie. For the good of the segment, I want you to lie.
I like it. I like it, Rico. I'm not even mad at you for it. I'm not mad at you for it.
All right,
no,
RJ.
I agree with you, Dave.
Well, RJ, when I said, you know, Lonnie, you may be the number one fan of the show, were you thinking, boy, what a disrespectful thing that is to say to Lonnie?
So I'm going to make this a bit uncomfortable for you then. If it's not Lonnie, I need you to bring the heat on who is. Who's number one?
I don't know. I'm thinking there's someone like Precious that's listening to the show that adores it, that every single second they wake up 4:40 in the morning, they do pregame work, they get ready for the show.
I am disturbed that you went to the guy with the bobblehead that has real hair on him.
Yeah, that guy. The bobblehead with the real hair guy, he might be a bigger fan than Lonnie.
What you just described is Lonnie. the guy who wakes up, that is Lonnie. You described him outside of the bubble.
Right.
Thing. That's
but
Lonnie.
There could be someone who's a bigger fan of the show that's not calling to tell us how big of a fan of the show they are.
Well, that's the point. That person isn't calling. Lonnie's the one that
but
calls.
Maybe they're
that's
fearful
exactly
of,
just
of,
said.
Of calling. Maybe they're nervous to get on the radio. I'm telling you. I think Lonnie's a tremendous fan. I don't see how saying, if someone said to me, you might be the biggest Giants fan in the entire world, how I would say, oh, How dare you disrespect me like that?
You don't
That's
gain,
a compliment.
You don't gain anything by alienating Lonnie, who never has anything negative to say about you at any point. He has nothing but positive things to say at all times.
See, this is what, but this is what makes Dave a problem, though, is he doesn't even understand it. Like, it doesn't compute in his brain. Like, he just says it, and he thinks it's really nice. Like, this
it
is what makes
nice.
Him a savage animal.
It was not. All right, let's bring back maybe the biggest fan of the show. He's back for round two. He's Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie. How are you?
Hey, didn't we just go through this whole maybe situation? And like Canty said, Enrico said, that does attest the fact that how much I am of a Yankee fan. I love the Yankees. I like the New York Knicks. I love the New York Knicks. But the fact that I want to see the Yankees win, I you know, the whole thing is, oh, the championship built blah, 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 blah. It don't seem that way. And the Knicks is more exciting to watch. Like, the Knicks make your heart, you know, the blood in your heart just bump right now. The Yankees is not doing that for me. And the fact that you're questioning my fandom, Dave, like...
I didn't question your fandom at all.
Wait.
I didn't say a word about your fandom, Lonnie.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Oh, my
you
God. Find it. Produce the tape.
And do exercise. Dave, I set my alarm for 4:58 every day just so I can send out a tweet to say, let's go family. And then turn on the radio. Days that I'm off, I still wake up at 4:50-something just to hear you guys every day. Number one fan. There is no maybe in front
maybe?
Of that.
I don't know. Nathan
and you double down.
Fan.
And then you triple down.
Now you're being disrespectful.
Now you're being
I don't know. Nathan History fan sends in a tweet. Nathan History fan sends in a tweet, says, I'm the number one fan of the show. So I don't know. Lonnie,
Dave,
maybe it is you. I don't know.
Dave, you know what's funny, too? I also called in today to also say, I like how the picture of it's you and Canty and then Rico, of course. Rico and Canty have helmets. I was going to say, since you're like the number one youth coach,
you should get a whistle, you know, and like the little bean plate pads or whatever and all of that, just so you're just not standing there with a smile on your face.
I have a beautiful smile. Thanks for the call, Lonnie. We'll talk to you in about 45 seconds. We greatly appreciate it.
You got a foam finger in that picture, don't you, Dave?
If that's the one he's talking about, yeah.
Yeah, there's something there.
Let's talk to a guy who could be the number one fan of the show.
Should have a predator dot over his head in that picture.
This guy's going to be in such... Shut up, by the way. This guy's going to be in a big, wonderful... I can hear the smile, Omar, in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning. How are you? Let me ask you. I am the number one. I'm going to the high court. I'm filing this lawsuit. I am the number fan of the show. I have grown up... Dilbero, that was a great introduction today. Great. It was... tremendous. I was already pumped up at the way your introduction was. It was amazing. Go, New York! Go, New York! Go! My kids are out of this world, man. They are enjoying it. I am getting younger with this big victory every day. Oh, my God. This is amazing. Yesterday was still like, I cannot believe that I was making sure that I am calm down, that it's not a playoff game, it's just a regular season game. But the tension level keep on going. I don't want to lose last night. And it didn't happen. When they hit a three-pointer, like I was looking at my both sons, they were looking at me and we didn't say a word. Like, what is going through their mind and what is going through our mind? Is it going to be the whole day? Is it like Sunday, the fair, we hit a... big shot against the Pelicans. Are we going to lose? Oh, my God. This game, this Knicks are giving me... You know, Buffalo Bills gives me a lot of fun this year. But this fun, if this keeps on going, it is overtaking it, baby.
You're having quite the year, Omar.
It's enjoyable, man. Enjoyable.
Oh, I can hear the smile. Thank you, Omar. I'm not quite sure what he said the entire way through, but I know he's in a really great mood right now. What? I heard a three-pointer in there. I heard greatly enjoyable, but I didn't hear every other word.
That's the beauty of Omar, though, Dave. That's the genius of Omar. You might not understand every single word, but you know exactly what he's saying.
Right, but I know he's happy.
Yes.
I know he's happy. Yeah. The 2021 NFL Draft, it's a week away. April 29th, the 98.7 ESPN is celebrating the return of football with what we like to call the Draft Challenge. By correctly predicting the results of the first 11 picks, you can win the jersey of your favorite team's first pick. To enter, text DRAFT to 44202, followed by your picks listed 1 through 11. We'll assign a point for every correct pick and 2 points for a correct Jets pick. If you think there's going to be a trade, just use the word trade for that pick. It's all from your home for the NFL Draft, 98.7 ESPN. Getting tweets... Henry God says, I'm the biggest DCR fan. Rothenberg, you're not wrong. Get me on the line. Call 800-919-3776. NY Isles, number one fan. You are 1,000% right. He says, I wake up at 3 o'clock to make sure I'm awake for the show. I am, in fact, the number one fan. Anthony Garrow, Lonnie is a tryhard. Listen, I don't know what to believe.
That someone wakes up at 3 a.m. just so they're
Anthony
up for 5
Garrow says, I've been following you all since you're on different shows, and I still love you. I've been to all your meet and greets. Hashtag tryhard Lonnie. I am your number one fan. I don't know what to believe. Maybe we believe Harvey in Irvington, who's on the line, that says he, in fact, is our number one fan. Good morning, Harvey.
Morning, guys. DCR, what's up, man? Listen, man, I respect Lonnie and everything, man. I appreciate it, but I'm clearly the number one fan at the end of the day. Like I said, I probably don't call as much because I don't think I never really felt like I would get through. This is the second time I call, actually, and I've been listening to the show. This is what I'm saying. I should get credit because I've been listening to this show since it was Alan Hahn and DiPietro. I need to know if Lonnie was listening back then. I remember when Canty used to be working for the Giants, and he used to make his little call to the show here and there before he came on. So basically, Rothenberg, you coming on being a diehard Giants fan just topped it off. If y'all remember, I'm the one that called and said we should draft Mekhi Parsons. I still feel like that, too, believe it or not. But overall, I just wanted to call and let y'all know, listen, I'm the biggest fan. Because I'm talking about the Knicks. I'm trying to call back when y'all talking about the Giants. That's all I really care about is the Giants. So when I get a chance, I'm going to call back when y'all start talking about the Giants. But tell Lonnie, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm the number one fan, man. Harvey and Irvington.
Yeah. Listen, you see what's happened now. People are coming out of the woodworks. I just got a DM. I got to chime in. I'm sorry. That guy's nuts, though. If anything, it made fans like me who listen to every minute but can't call because I'm sweating like a savage in the gym. You're 1,000% right here. He's so confrontational. Don't be a Rick. That's what I get. It's one of your buddies. They're DMing you. Slide into your DMs to criticize me. Listen, all I'm doing is reading it. I'm bringing that to
All you're doing is reading it.
That's it. Or how about this? Guat Pride says, I back you up on this, Rothenberg. I'm the number one fan of the show. I don't call in because I'm working while I listen. I would challenge Lonnie to a Know Your Host contest with information about all three of you guys. Set it up. Let's go.
I'll take Lonnie. I mean, Lonnie plays along. We get to know your co-host. Lonnie plays along in the email.
I think Lonnie is a tremendous fan of the show. All I said is he might be our number. I don't know how that's a negative to say about the guy. If I said, Chris, you might have been the greatest Giants defensive player in the history of the Giants, is that you'd be like, oh, I might be.
Don't try to make a false equivalence, Dave. Don't take it there. Listen, there's a lot of people coming for the throne as the number one fan of DCR. Lonnie has made his bid the last few months. I mean, the guy calls every single day. He tweets every single day. I'm uncomfortable with you saying maybe. Just when he calls, what's wrong with saying the number one fan of the show, Lonnie? What's wrong with calling him that?
I don't know that I feel comfortable giving him that honor, that role.
I don't understand why you take yourself
so
seriously,
Dave. Nobody else feels comfortable either.
I don't know why you take yourself so seriously, Dave. You shouldn't. Should just give Lonnie that title. Let Lonnie have it. If he wants to call him, if he wants to be the number one fan of the show, let him be the number one fan of the show.
I don't give that out lightly. Okay. That's an honor. That's got to be worked at and earned. I think Lonnie's a terrific fan.
And Lonnie has put in the work. Lonnie has absolutely put in the work. Come on, man.
Maybe we should have a battle. Maybe we should line up two callers who think they're the number one fan of the show and have them battle out questions about the show.
I'm not opposed to that.
Maybe we should.
I'm not opposed to that.
Again, with the maybes. What do you mean, maybe we should?
Well, I can't make that unilateral decision. I mean, we're a show.
Take the maybe out of your vocabulary today.
He's a big maybe, Rico.
Oh, my God.
You want to get married, Sherry? Maybe.
That's why he cuddles everything. Cuddle marriage. I'll just cuddle it. I'm going to cuddle everything.
Maybe. Dave Sanchez says, my vote goes to Omar for the simple fact I don't understand a word he says 90% of the time. And it's still entertaining.
No, Omar does not earn that. He has not earned that title. When we need him with Buffalo
I would agree
and everything
with you.
Else,
I do not think Omar has earned the title.
Like when we need him the most, he goes missing.
Yep. Steve Brzezinski says Spike and Ira would like to have a word with Lonnie.
Well, this is what we have to have a battle. Then we have to have a battle royale. We have
Mega
to see
Red.
People.
Mega Red tweets, and you know Rothenberg, ESPN. I could be the number one fan as well. I created content for the show to get a chuckle out of you guys. I'm just saying. He's the one that did the picture of you with the devil and the angel over your shoulder yesterday.
Yeah, we have great fans, but I mean, if you want to hold the title, we should get a belt made up, actually, is what we should do.
Yes, that is a great idea. That is a great idea. The DCR number one fan belt.
I love it. I do like that.
Not that kind of belt, Dave.
What kind of belt did you think I was talking about?
Oh man, that Paul Giamatti from Billions belt. That's
the one that comes with attachments. Yeah, keep that one in your basement.
Why don't you lead us to break since you're so funny today?
No, I fulfill my requirements today. I fulfill my requirements. I opened the show.
I mean, since you missed a funny man today. I mean, anybody could come on at 5 o'clock and spend 45 seconds opening.
No, look at you disparaging your co-host. Look at him.
Look at what he's doing now.
Trying to tear you down.
Well,
Rico.
I mean, you're sitting here making fun of me. I'm not going to have that.
Oh, here we go. I should
now he's playing the victim.
This is a great tweet. I want to read this one quickly. E. Penske with a great tweet. You don't listen to these frauds, Rothenberg. People listen to the show because of you. You're the true star, Dave. From weeknights at 7 o'clock to shows with Ruco to Saturday every week, you are the true star. That's E. Penske, the great E. Penske.
Because nothing says true star like moving times all the time.
Well, that's not on me.
Well, yeah. I mean, your minions all of a sudden come out. It's amazing to me how much support you have.
Because people adore me. Just because you don't, people do. People look at me and they say, boy, that's a talented radio guy.
They look at you and I guess, are you relatable? It's like why people like Jokic. It's like, I mean, look at this guy's body. Like, how is he having this much
success? Of course I'm relatable. I'm the everyman. I don't have money in the bank. I'm the everyman. I get paid on time.
Money
like,
in the bank.
Great,
you just
I need
built
to use
mansion.
That money to pay bills. Not like you guys.
You grew up. I've seen where you grew up. And where you live now, you're doing
my
great.
My parents did well. Don't judge me because of my parents. Don't you dare.
Double plowed. You got double plows.
Double plow.
I mean, you got vendors everywhere. You're paying all this money for bar mitzvahs with pyro and everything else.
You weren't even at the bar mitzvah. Don't you comment on the bar
mitzvah. This is what people don't know. You position yourself as the every guy.
I am the every guy.
No,
I work hard for my money. I do a hockey show to bring in extra money to put food on the table for my family.
You're the every rich guy is what you are.
Oh, yeah, I wish. All right, then why does my wife work full time?
Because she's really smart. She wants to work.
It's a valid. Yeah, no, she does not want to work.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.